welcome to the KVH Industries, Inc. second quarter 2019 earnings conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Don Riley, Chief Financial Officer. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Operator. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us today to discuss KVH Industries' second quarter results and our guidance for the 2019 third quarter and full year, all of which is included in the earnings release we published this morning. With me on this call is Martin Kitzman-Heineken, the company's Chief Executive Officer, and Brent Bruhn, our Chief Operating Officer. The earnings release is available on our website and also from our Investor Relations Department. If you'd like to listen to a recording of today's call, you can access a webcast replay on our website. If you are listening via the web, feel free to submit questions to ir@kvh.com. This conference call will contain certain forward-looking statements that are subject to many assumptions and uncertainties that may cause our actual results to differ materially from those expressed in these statements. We undertake no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements. We will also discuss certain non-GAAP financial measures, and you will find definitions of these measures in our press release, as well as reconciliations of these non-GAAP measures to comparable GAAP measures. We encourage you to review the cautionary statements made in our SEC filings, specifically those under the heading Risk Factors in our Form 10-K, filed on March 1st, and our 10-Q, which is expected to be filed this afternoon, and the company's SEC filings available directly from the Investor Information section of our website. At this time, I would like to turn the call over to Martin. Martin?
Thanks, Don, and thank you for joining us. Q2 was certainly a busy quarter with the sale of our Videotel maritime training business in mid-May. I'd like to walk you through some of our results and then look more closely at that sale and what it means for the company and for our shareholders. Total revenue for the second quarter was $41 million, including Videotel, for half the quarter, which compares to our guidance of $40 to $41.5 million, which also included it. But since we concluded that Videotel should be classified as a discontinued operation, the reported revenue in our earnings release excludes Videotel, which brings it to $39.2 million. Earnings were down year over year, primarily due to product mix. Yet our Q2 EBITDA still improved sequentially from the first quarter of this year, and we expect that the back half of the year will improve significantly each quarter. In our mobile connectivity business, we're seeing very positive progress. For the second consecutive quarter, airtime revenue grew by double digits, growing 10% year over year for the second quarter, an increase of $1.8 million. This was driven by a 13% increase in total subscribers. AgilePlans revenue increased more than 200% from Q2 last year and is still on track to be cash flow positive in the second half of 2019. AgilePlans represented 70% of our commercial maritime VSAT shipments and 56% of total VSAT shipments for the quarter. Total VSAT shipments increased 10% versus the prior year, setting a new all-time record for quarterly shipments. Most importantly, our airtime gross margins increased to just under 35%, a 5-point improvement compared to the first quarter of this year. This is great progress towards our goal of exiting the year with an airtime gross margin of 38 to 40%. This improvement reflects the growing number of subscribers on our new HTS network and our efforts to migrate existing customers to the new network. With the recent launch of the V11 HTS, we now have an all HTS product lineup. While we continue to support our entire customer base on both networks, we're no longer promoting the TracPhone IP series, and we've made the decision to reserve for the modems used for the ArcLight network. Our partner Intelsat gave us some incentive to speed up the migrations and to stop selling the ArcLight systems. We have a seamless way for our customers to upgrade to the new network, but they're not required to upgrade. In our inertial navigation business, Q2 sales decreased $1.4 million, or 14%, compared to the second quarter of 2018. Following eight consecutive quarters of double-digit FOG growth, we had set very aggressive goals for 2019. Q2 FOG product sales were flat with last year, and our TACNAV sales have decreased in that same period. We have orders for TACNAV in backlog for Q4 delivery and anticipate at least one other significant order. Looking ahead, we're going to be more conservative for FOG sales growth for the remainder of the year to reflect our current pace of sales. Nevertheless, we have a strong pipeline of opportunities and continue to get designed into new platforms. As these systems go into production, we expect to see a return to strong FOG growth. The biggest news of the quarter was our May 13th announcement that we sold our Videotel training business to Oakley Capital for $90 million on a cash-free, debt-free basis. As we discussed in our call following that announcement, we've been looking at ways to fund our capital needs either through a secondary offering or through a strategic partnership. We decided that selling Videotel was a better path forward, enabling us to raise a significant amount of capital in a non-dilutive way while exiting a declining market. It was also an opportunity to get a premium price for the business and maximum benefit for our shareholders. We think we achieved this goal given that we recorded a $54.5 million pre-tax gain. It's important to note that bundling Videotel training content is a valuable differentiator for our end-to-end SATCOM solution, and therefore we've retained the rights to include their training content in our Agile Plans product at no cost for the next 3 years. The deal is closed, and we've received the proceeds from the sale at the end of June. Our first step was to substantially repay all of our outstanding debt, and even after this, we still have more than $65 million in cash on our balance sheet. Now, we're giving very thoughtful consideration about how to invest a portion of the proceeds in our strategic growth opportunities and in projects to improve operational efficiencies that will provide faster growth and higher EBITDA. We're focusing on large and growing markets where our products and solutions deliver against unmet needs. And for the balance of 2019, we plan to increase our investments by up to $3 million in these key initiatives. First, we intend to promote the continued expansion of our Agile Plans program. The 200% year-over-year revenue growth in Q2 illustrates the strong demand for our Agile Plans solutions, as well as the compounding benefits of our growing subscriber base. Our goal is to grow this population as quickly and as efficiently as possible on the new higher-margin HTS network. To do so, we'll be expanding our marketing and demand generation initiatives, especially with our key service providers around the globe. This is significant. There is significant growth in this market, as more than 30,000 vessels are set to convert from older, slower L-band services to VSAT service in the coming years. At the same time, we're starting the process of digitizing our sales and service delivery business platforms to achieve greater efficiencies, improve margins, enable us to scale the business more effectively. Our second initiative is also in the marine market. In early June, we introduced KVH Watch, our new Internet of Things connectivity as a service product for remote equipment monitoring and real-time intervention by maritime equipment manufacturers. With remote monitoring, manufacturers can act in real time to minimize expensive service calls and ensure that their equipment is performing at its peak for maritime operations. We've already proven the value of this approach using Watch as our own proactive monitoring tool. We use it for every VSAT system deployed around the world. IoT is essential for maintaining and optimizing complex equipment at sea. But until now, equipment manufacturers have lacked an affordable VSAT IoT solution. For cybersecurity and business reasons, manufacturers are not able to access the ship's IT networks. Likewise, owners and operators don't allow external companies to connect to their primary vessel communications. So our new service will be targeting the equipment manufacturers, not the vessel owners. We followed the successful business model we established with Agile Plans for this new market so that we can offer KVH Watch for one monthly subscription fee to a customer base that cannot afford their own dedicated VSAT antenna. This new product enables us to solve an unmet need, the delivery of high-value IoT data in real time, and the ability for high-speed intervention for software updates and remote tech support for equipment on vessels anywhere on the globe. IoT connectivity represents an exciting new addressable market for us, as well as an incremental business opportunity that leverages proven platforms within KVH. These include our current HTS network, award-winning TrackPhone VSAT antennas, our service platforms, and our proven Agile Plans model. We're now going to increase the pace of development in our software platform for IoT as we bring this exciting new business model to a new customer segment. We've already signed up our first partner for KVH Watch, Kongsberg Digital. KVH Watch will provide IoT connectivity for their Cognify data ecosystem and Vessel Insight service. Preparations are underway to launch a pilot program, and we're already in active discussions with other customers who want to be part of this ecosystem, where each is connected to our dedicated IoT VSAT system on board. And finally, we're now accelerating our investment in our core photonic chip technology, which we see as a true game changer and the most significant development in fiber optic gyro technology in decades. We continue to make excellent developmental progress and are now in the process of hiring additional optical engineers and funding outside vendors to help with packaging technology. We remain on track to have our photonic chip-based gyros designed into our precision IMUs by the end of this year as planned. We're kicking off the development of a simplified electronics design that can then be reduced to a single custom integrated chip that will dramatically reduce the size and cost of the electronics to match the similar gains of the photonic chip. Today's FOG products are already being tested and used in more than 30 different autonomous vehicle platforms, including public transport and people movers, such as the driverless vehicles deployed by May Mobility. We expect these applications will be the first to adopt our photonic-based gyros, and we're on track to have our first commercial product available by year-end. We've also designed our new photonic chip into a military aviation program and expect it to be qualified by year-end, with production starting in 2020. It's important to note that our existing inertial systems already offer the size, weight, power, and performance parameters necessary for a wide range of applications, including advanced driver assist systems, or ADAS, as well as level 4 and 5 autonomous systems that are in development. We also plan to fully integrate our photonic chip technology into assured position, navigation, and timing, or APNT. So our APNT product, or TACNAV product, will include our new photonic chip gyros starting next year. Extensive testing by the U.S. Army using our existing inertial systems began early this year for an 8,000-vehicle program scheduled for down select in October. Based on our performance, we've been asked to bid on Phase 2. Since the Army's goal is to eventually field APNT solutions on up to 100,000 vehicles, our photonic chip timing looks like it will dovetail perfectly with this large potential opportunity. Not only will it support our planned automotive solution when autonomous platforms are ready for large-scale deployment, but our new photonic chip will be ubiquitous across our entire inertial systems product line. We should begin to see reduced cost and better margins on existing products next year in the FOG business, while increasing the appeal of our inertial solutions to an even broader audience of users. So in conclusion, we're focused on improving margins and driving incremental growth opportunities to replace and then to exceed the contribution of Videotel. Our core VSAT business is accelerating with record shipments and double-digit growth, and Agile plans will start generating positive cash flow this year. We're leveraging our existing platforms to enter the IoT connectivity market and pursue an incremental business. Our inertial systems are gaining momentum with multiple autonomous vehicle platforms and a major U.S. Army program. And our photonic chip will be ready to begin to roll out commercially by year-end. The decision to sell Videotel was done with the express purpose of being able to invest in these high-return, long-term initiatives in growing markets. These investments are now reflected in our updated short-term guidance, while the benefits will be seen for years to come and generate long-term shareholder value. Now I'd like to turn the call back over to Don. Don?
Thank you, Martin. As you know, we concluded that the Videotel disposition met the criteria of a discontinued operation, and we've reflected it that way in our earnings release and in our 10-Q, which we'll file later today. That characterization requires that we remove Videotel results from our prior period results and instead show them on a single line called Results from Discontinued Operations. Initially, that may make comparisons to prior years and prior guidance a bit more challenging, but going forward, it will make all of our comparisons more meaningful. While my comments this morning will focus on our continuing operations, I would like to point out that we recorded a substantial gain, over $54 million, on the sale of Videotel, resulting in positive net income and EPS of $47.2 million and $2.70, respectively. As Martin mentioned earlier, our second quarter revenue from continuing operations was $39.2 million, which was within our previously announced guidance range if we excluded Videotel revenue from guidance for the month and a half that we owned it during the quarter. This compares to $38.6 million recorded in the second quarter of 2018. Product revenue for the second quarter of 2019 was $14.7 million, a decrease of $1.5 million, or 9%, from $16.2 million in the second quarter of the prior year. Service revenue for the second quarter was $24.5 million, an increase of $2.1 million, or 9%, from $22.4 million in the second quarter of last year. Revenue from our inertial navigation segment decreased $1.4 million, and in our mobile connectivity segment increased $2 million. By segment, in our inertial navigation segment, product revenues decreased $1.5 million compared to last year, or 18%, primarily due to a decrease in TACNAV product sales. However, while FOG sales for the second quarter of this year were substantially flat compared to last year, they were less than we anticipated in our guidance. And given the high margins associated with this product line, lower FOG sales was one of the main drivers of lower than expected earnings for the quarter. In our mobile connectivity segment, product revenues were relatively flat compared to last year. And with respect to the Agile program, approximately 56% of our total VSAT product shipments this quarter and almost 70% of our commercial maritime shipments were Agile orders, which helped us to achieve a new record high in total VSAT unit shipments for the quarter, increasing 11% compared to the second quarter of last year. Service revenues in our mobile connectivity segment increased $2 million due to an increase in mini VSAT broadband airtime service revenue of $1.8 million, or 10%. In addition, we generated contract engineering service revenue this quarter of about $500,000, which is a bit unusual for the mobile connectivity segment. Partially offsetting these increases was a $400,000 decrease in content revenue. Sequentially, airtime revenues were up over 4% from the first quarter of 2019 and about 6% from the fourth quarter of 2018. For the second quarter, our consolidated gross profit margin decreased to 29.3% as compared with 37% in the second quarter of last year. The decrease in gross margins was largely the result of the $2.1 million inventory reserve we recorded relating to legacy TracPhone IP products, as we've decided to stop promoting sales of these products, focusing our efforts instead on migrating customers to our HTS network and product offerings, but also due to an unfavorable change in the mix of product sales. From a segment perspective, our mobile connectivity gross margin was 28.5% this year compared to 35.9% last year, while our inertial navigation gross margin approximated 32.8% compared to 40.3% last year. The decrease in gross margin for the quarter for the mobile connectivity segment was primarily due to the $2.1 million inventory reserve and to the contract engineering services contract I mentioned, which generated a slightly negative margin. The decrease in gross margin for the inertial navigation segment was due to much lower TACNAV sales this year, which generate much higher than average gross margins, and associated higher unabsorbed overhead in our factory. Operating expenses for the second quarter of 2019 were $18.4 million, up 9% from $16.9 million in the second quarter of last year, primarily due to a $1 million increase in costs supporting our focus on service delivery, as well as to somewhat higher engineering services in connection with the photonic chip and other initiatives. For the second quarter, these changes in revenue, margins, and operating expenses resulted in an operating loss of $6.8 million compared with an operating loss of $2.6 million recorded last year. Our mobile connectivity segment generated an operating loss of $2.5 million compared with an operating loss of $300,000 last year, while our inertial navigation segment had an operating loss of $200,000 for the quarter compared with an operating profit of $1.6 million last year. and our unallocated loss from operations increased by $200,000 to $4.1 million from $3.9 million last year. Our effective tax rate for the second quarter was a benefit of 42.9% and was impacted by the release of valuation allowances against the discontinued operations tax expense resulting from the sale of Videotel. For the second quarter, our net loss was $3.5 million, as compared with a net loss of $2.5 million recorded in the same period last year. Again, this is from continuing operations. On a non-GAAP basis, which excludes amortization of intangibles, stock-based compensation, and other non-recurring costs, foreign exchange transactions, gains and losses, that is, and the tax effect of both of those things, as well as the change in the valuation allowance, we had a net loss of $1.8 million compared with a net loss of $1.2 million last year. And EPS for the second quarter was a net loss of 20 cents per share compared with a net loss of 14 cents per share last year. Non-GAAP EPS for the second quarter was a net loss of 10 cents per share compared to 7 cents per share in the same period last year. Our adjusted EBITDA for the second quarter was a loss of $1 million compared with a profit of $200,000 last year. For a complete reconciliation of our non-GAAP measures, please refer to our earnings release that was published earlier this morning. From a continuing operations perspective, net cash used in operations was $600,000, a decrease of $1.2 million compared to the second quarter of last year. Capital expenditures were $3.7 million. As a result of the proceeds we received from the sale of Videotel, our bank borrowings decreased over $27 million during the quarter, and our ending cash balance exceeded $65 million. Total backlog at the end of June was $17.7 million, of which $12.2 million is scheduled to ship this year. Backlog for our inertial navigation products is $15.6 million, of which $11.7 million is scheduled to ship this year. Fog products accounted for $8.3 million of that backlog, of which $5.8 million will ship this year. With that, I'll turn to our outlook for the third quarter and full year. As a reminder, this guidance is based on our continuing operations only, and therefore, unlike previous guidance, excludes Videotel completely, including historical amounts for prior periods. Also, this guidance reflects our plans for incremental investments in the key initiatives that Martin discussed and that are referred to in our earnings release. So our guidance for the third quarter is as follows. Third quarter revenue is estimated to be in the range of $39 million to $42 million, and GAAP EPS is expected to be in the range of 24 cent loss to a 13 cent loss per share. Non-GAAP EPS is expected to be in the range of negative 14 cents to negative 5 cents per share. And adjusted EBITDA is estimated to be between negative $1 million and positive $1 million. This includes approximately $1 million to $1.5 million in the third quarter for the key initiatives that Martin referred to. For the full year, our revenue guidance is $157 million to $165 million. Our expectations for full year GAAP EPS is a range of negative $1 to negative 71 cents per share. Our non-GAAP EPS is expected to be from negative 53 cents to negative 31 cents per share. And our adjusted EBITDA is expected to be in the range of negative $4.5 million to positive $500,000. This guidance includes approximately $2 to $3 million of incremental spending on our key initiatives. For 2019, we expect our capital expenditures will be in the range of $15 million to $18 million. This guidance assumes there will be no significant changes in foreign currency exchange rates. So this concludes our prepared remarks. I'll turn the call over now to the operator for the Q&A portion of this morning's call.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. Our first question comes from Rick Prentice of Raymond James.
Thanks. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Good morning, Rick.
A lot of moving pieces here, so I want to see if we can unpack a little bit. But, on the annual guidance for the EBITDA line, right? So previously, we're thinking $5 to $10 million of positive EBITDA for the year. How much does taking VideoTel out of, I assume, 5.5 months impact that by? Is it, you know, kind of in that $4 or $5 million range? Just kind of get a sense of how much that affected it.
Yeah, it's maybe in the closer to the $4 million range or so. So it's obviously significant out of the historical periods. And then, so.
Yeah, so if you look at our original guidance, Rick, of $10 to $16 million for the full year, VideoTel would have accounted for, say, 8 to 9 of that.
Okay.
Without VideoTel, our original guidance would have been the range of 2 to 7.
Okay. So so with VideoTel out, 2 to 7, and now we go down to the minus 4.5 to positive a half, you've got the $2 to $3 million of investing on key initiatives then.
Right, yep.
And that's going to be on the cost side. Is that going to kind of flow into R&D effort? It sounds like you're hiring some optical engineers. You've got
bigger
packaging, but then you've also got software development for the IoT and then spurring promotion. So just trying to think of how we kind of carve up that $2 to $3 million.
Yeah, I'd say probably, you know, 75-80% of that is on the engineering R&D side. Maybe 20% of that is on the sales and marketing.
Okay. And then we guess that the next big part is the pullback in revenue guidance from the previous guidance, which is on the high margin side. So is that kind of the rest of them, the difference of taking VideoTel out would have been 2 to 7, taking or adding the key initiatives kind of pulls you to flat to positive 4, and then the high margin revenue loss from previous thoughts pulls it the rest of the way down?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I think the previous, you know, if you take out VideoTel from the full year, you know, compared to the existing guidance, I think, you know, if you take your numbers and subtract out VideoTel from Q1 and half of it from Q2, the, you know, average, I think the consensus was like 164 or something if you do that, you know, and the new midpoint of the guidance range is 161, and the high is 165.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, a lot of moving pieces.
And that's, you know, so that's a delta, you know, from the midpoint of, you know, call it $2 or $3 million, and that's how much we took the fog revenue forecast down. So basically, our existing where we are now in fog is we're just guiding for flat for the next two quarters, which we think is a little bit conservative, but based on what happened in Q1 and Q2, it's a more it's a safer bet.
Sure. And what do you think led to the change from thinking sales were going to come in versus kind of more flat year over year? Was it global economy, industrial, transport? You know, we've seen weakness there. But what kind of led to the weakness and what would cause it to reaccelerate?
Well, it's because of some programs. You know, we're, as an OEM supplier, we're kind of at the mercy of the customer's applications. And there were some big drone programs that we were designed into that, you know, the timing of those has moved around a little bit. But just in general, because, you know, we're an OEM supplier, we don't have the same level of visibility that we do in our other businesses. You know, we're just, you know, when their products sell, they call us and buy. So it's a little bit trickier to forecast. I think that's part of it. But we don't see any fundamental change in the business. So, you know, we had a very long track record of double-digit growth there, 8 quarters in a row. Now we've had 2 quarters, you know, Q1 was down and this quarter was flat with last year. So we don't see anything changing fundamentally, no competitive pressure or pricing pressure. So we're just changing the guidance to reflect the reality that we saw in Q2. That's sort of the bottom line.
Sure. Okay, and two other quick ones for me. The large international orders that you've had out of guidance for quite a while, you didn't mention. Is it still something out of guidance, obviously, but something that is anticipated, or is it kind of falling off the rails?
Nope. It's, you know, we continue to get updates, and the, you know, the latest update is that, you know, they're looking at, you know, decision end of year. So, but, you know, as you know, we've decided to stop talking about that because it's very difficult to forecast because it's international.
Right.
On the other hand, here in the U.S., you know, we expect about a $5.4 million order here for TACNAV, and we have very good visibility on that and on timing, and probably about $2 million of that will ship in Q4. So, so TACNAV business is, you know, still, you know, very viable, and, you know, that's, you know, we mentioned in the call about the AP&T, which is also a domestic program, you know, U.S. Army. So those programs are easier to forecast, and we have good visibility and timelines and, you know, draft purchase orders and things like that. So we're, you know, we have very high confidence in that.
I think Global Eagle had mentioned a few months back that they were maybe considering monetizing their maritime, kind of the yacht and high-end area. Is there any interest in expanding into that territory further, and is that an interesting asset?
I'd say, you know, it seems a little bit distressed over the years. You know, it's been that
right.
group has been bought and sold many times. I think that the cruise ship space is, well, it's interesting because it's large. It's also it's very concentrated buyers, so it seems like it's a tough business, you know, because you know, it's, they send out an RFP, and you know, if you don't win, you get zero. So, it's probably not in our wheelhouse. The super yacht portion that they have definitely would be. You know, that's you know, certainly a key market for us. So that part would be interesting.
Okay. Very good. Okay. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks,
Rick.
Our next question comes from Rich Valera of Needham & Co.
Hey guys, this is Roger Boyd.
Hey, Rich.
Just a quick one for me. I guess with the gross margin this quarter, the majority of it was the inventory write-down. Can you talk about like what you expect in the third quarter? What kind of gross margins is embedded in that? Do you start to get leverage from increase in airtime gross margins, or just any commentary there?
Right. Yes. Yeah. While Don's looking up the facts, I'll. I just comment on the airtime margins. You know, we do expect that to continue to grow, and we're looking to exit the year around 40% gross margin. You know, so maybe you know high 30s for the fourth quarter for the blended average. And the airtime is, you know, because it compounds. We have relatively fixed costs there now. You know, we've done the bandwidth purchases that we need for the global network, and now incremental subscribers, you know, are adding. Adding very high margin.
So, as Martin said, we expect service margins to continue to grow every quarter. Product margins should get back to. Product margins are really a function of two things: product mix and product volume in our factory. Mix did not favor. Was a bit unfavorable in the second quarter. FOG sales were lower than we expected. So, you know, margins were lower. Less absorption in our factory. But we expect to get back to, you know, historical high 30s, low 40s on product margins in the third and the fourth quarter. And as Martin said, service margins should be growing throughout the quarter. Exiting airtime margins should be exiting the year around 40.
Even with a relatively flat guidance for FOG sales?
Yeah, because, you know, we'll...
TACNAV is growing.
TACNAV will be an important part of the fourth quarter.
Got it. Okay, makes sense. And then I guess just qualitatively, any updates on how the trials are going with May Mobility and where that progresses with the photonic chip? And
yeah, it's going. It's going very well. They launched in Providence. They had it was a big deal in Rhode Island, so they're running. You know, and they're in. Maybe half a dozen cities now. So that, you know, they don't really consider those trials. They're actually rolling out. So they're, you know, so that's going well. We're on board every one of those vehicles.
Okay, that's good for me. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, good. Thanks, Roger.
Yeah. There are several other people movers, too, I should have mentioned, you know, that same these autonomous buses are probably a bigger market than we thought originally. Take next question, operator.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Jim McGillery of Chardan Capital Market.
Thanks. Good morning.
Morning,
Jim. This $2 to $3 million of incremental investments that you're making, just want to make sure I understand, that is $2 to $3 million extra for the second half of this year, or was that some other time frame you were talking about?
Yes. No, that's okay. Right. That's for the second half.
And then it sounds like there might be a portion of this that doesn't continue into 2020, but it also sounds like there's, you know, at least a significant portion of that extra expense that does continue into 2020. Can you characterize which one of those might be more accurate?
I think, yeah, so some of this is a pull forward from 2020, and some of it is, you know, some of these projects won't be finished in the second half. So obviously we haven't done the, you know, we're not ready to do 2020 guidance yet, but you're thinking about it the right way. So I wouldn't, you know, in your model, I wouldn't simply multiply the number by two and say that's going to be, you know, 2020. So.
But we also don't want to bring it back to zero either.
No, nope. Nope. So, right. Yeah, so. And
okay.
And some of that also will be CapEx. Most of it is R&D spending. So, but there is some CapEx as we, you know, accelerate like their IoT program for Watch. It'll be similar to Agile plans where we'll be, you know, capitalizing, you know, the new sales, you know, starting next year. So not
and,
a
and Martin,
know, it won't hit the bottom line.
Got it. Okay. Martin, you talked about a TACNAV order in the U.S. You expect, I think you said, $4 to $5 million with $2 million to ship this
yep.
year. Just trying to understand or gauge your level of confidence in that. Is that, we all know that the military business is tough and things get pushed. And
yep.
so I'm just trying to figure out, you know, why you're so confident on this.
Well, it's been a long-running program that we won 3 years ago. The program's gone through LRIP. It's a you know, U.S. prime. You know, we've got, you know, draft purchase order in hand. We're looking at T's and C's. So I'd give it, you know, as high a confidence as, you know, anything in business. So I'd say 95%.
Okay. And then finally on the FOG business, it sounds like there might be an inventory adjustment. Is that, or am I just trying to read too much into it?
No.
At your customers.
Oh, you mean at the customers? No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Just pattern of order. You know, we've had some customers discontinue product lines. You know, I mean, it's very difficult to keep track of every single customer's, you know, products. We don't have a very highly concentrated customer base, which is good. There's nothing that we're seeing that gives us concern for the FOG business. You know, and we think that, you know, we're coming off a pretty good year last year and we're expecting continued growth. Instead, we're now forecasting flat, but that was a pretty high level for us for kind of the base product. So I think it's going to be a couple quarter pause at the most before we resume growth. And also we'll be, you know, putting in our photonic chip based products, you know, which will give us better margin and also gives us, you know, incrementally better performance. So I think that also opens up the potential for next year to, you know, return to growth in the FOG business.
Does the photonic chip-based product require the customers to redesign their products in order to use it? And so, you know,
no, it's absolutely seamless. Yep.
Okay. So it's the same power consumption, well, not power consumption, but it's the same
yes,
form factor.
Yes, that's a good question.
Plug it in.
No, that's an excellent question. The power consumption is the same or less. So it's a, you know, it doesn't require any changes on the customer's part. Form factor and digital interface is identical by design.
So. Got it. Okay. I think that's it. Thanks a lot. Good luck with everything.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
And as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key. That was star one. Our next question comes from Chris Quilty of Quilty Analytics.
Thanks, guys. Wanted to follow up on Agile plans, which, you know, ticked down modestly, I guess, as a percent of the overall shipments in the quarter. Was there anything unusual going on, maybe some larger traditional VSAT sales or just the normal flow of business?
Well, we're running around 70%, so I'm not sure. I wouldn't say that is down.
70% of commercial and 56% of total. So I think that's...
So it's certainly...
What number do you have from last quarter, Chris?
Looking at it here, 1 second. Well, I mean, it was like 60%. It's kind of ticked down a little bit on the overall sales.
Agile plans is not offered in the leisure market. So, you know, the key metric would be the percent of commercial, you know, and at 70%, 69, 70%, you know, that's, we think that's very good.
We haven't seen any change. Maybe
so we had a little, you know.
I had 77% in Q1.
Yep. So there, you know,
we ship a lot of leisure units in 2Q because of the seasonality of that business.
Right, and then for commercial, you know, you're right. You know, we had some customers. Transpetro was not Agile. That was a lease, right, or
that's
a purchase?
Purchase. Well,
yeah. So it's a, you know, so sometimes any given contract might move the needle a little bit, but we have seen no change in Agile.
Where do you think that goes over time on commercial fleets? I mean, does it eventually go to 100%?
I don't think so. I think that, you know, it's kind of like cloud versus on-premise. You know, you're always going to have people who want, you know, CapEx versus OpEx. So I don't think it's going to go to 100%. And frankly, we don't really care. I mean, if the guy wants to buy the equipment and take our service, that's fantastic. You know, it's so this, we see this as a huge enabler, and it's allowed us to double the size of our, you know, quarterly shipments over the last, you know, since we launched it. And but if someone wants to buy it, that's great too.
That's fine. Any trends you're seeing in ARPUs now that the V11 is shipping?
Sequentially, the ARPU from Q1 is up a little bit, you know, like 1 or 2%, 2 or 3%, something like that. So we haven't seen any degradation in ARPUs this year, which is good. You know, we have noticed that some of our competitors, you know, who are public, had dramatic decreases in ARPU. So we're happy to see ours tick up, not down. And that's true for Agile as well. Agile ARPUs are ticked up in Q2.
Gotcha. Can you give us the actual airtime sales in the quarter?
$19.1 million.
Gotcha. And likewise for TACNAV, if I'm running the numbers right, it looks like you only sold a couple hundred thousand dollars in the quarter.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Yep. Yeah, that's why. When Don's talking about the product mix and the factory overhead, that's a factor. So,
understand. And on the margins on the Agile plan or on the mini VSAT airtime, I mean, you actually did better than I had forecast in Q2, up around 35%. But it sounded like you backed off a little bit on the exit. You had said exiting at 40, and I think you said now 38-40 exiting. Anything changed in terms of?
What I was trying to say is that we think that the average for the full quarter would be around 38, but we would be exiting the year at 40. So.
Okay. Gotcha. Shifting gears over to the IoT, maybe you can help explain that a little bit better. I mean, you've got somebody who's selling whatever, a marine engine that they want to maintain. It's going on somebody else's ship. The ship operator has his own antenna. Do I understand that you're going to provide a additional antenna for a purpose of monitoring equipment on the vessel and would have to negotiate that with the vessel owner?
No. Well, yes and no. So no to the last part of the question. So there's no negotiation with the vessel owner. So it's kind of like imagine that you buy an alarm system for your house and you negotiate with the alarm company. You tell them what you want and you want, you know, transmission, you know, to the police department or whatever. The guy shows up at your house and installs your alarm. You know, he might ask you, where do you want the transmitter? But it's not a negotiation where you say, oh, what kind of transmitter? What frequency? Are you using AT&T or using point-to-point wireless? You know, you bought an alarm system. So this is the same kind of thing. So these equipment manufacturers, these are multi-million dollar, you know, pieces of equipment. They sell service contracts and they sell uptime and they sell efficiency gains. They have all these, you know, service plans that they sell to the vessel owner. And as part of that, now they'll be able to improve their uptime and reduce their own costs and improve service for their customer by having, you know, real-time monitoring of large amounts of data continuously and have the ability to do intervention where you have, you know, live two-way, you know, video conferencing, FaceTime, software updates, and all that type of stuff.
Gotcha. And I'm assuming this is primarily a kind of new product type of market entry, or is there a retrofit aspect to this?
Well, there's a retrofit aspect. So, for example, Kongsberg Maritime, you know, they've got something like 8,000 to 10,000 ships with their, you know, their engine monitoring, you know, system on board. So currently, that doesn't have, you know, this new feature that they are announcing, which is this, you know, connectivity and this new IoT platform. So what's interesting about this market is that the customers are have much larger install bases than any fleet. So like the biggest fleet in the world, you know, might have 400 ships or something or 800 ships, whereas these customers have 10, 12,000 ships.
Gotcha. And can you walk us through kind of what the economic model looks like for you in terms of, you know, does this flow through as CapEx and is it, you know, upfront investment and long-term revenue and in terms of service? And would that service flow through, you know, your existing mini VSAT airtime or how would you account for it?
Yeah, so I think that from a business model perspective, it's very similar to the Agile plans where we put the equipment on board and then we sell the service to equipment manufacturers. So it has the, you know, advantage that you can sell it more than once. So it's, you know, so it's sort of Agile plans, you know, with, you know, many different customers. So it would be recorded as, you know, as airtime revenue. So we're also, you know, so we're selling airtime in a way, but we're really from a business model perspective, we're selling the value of, you know, reduced service cost, IoT, and intervention. So it's, you're not really selling it by the megabyte, you know, you're selling it by, you know, this is what it costs to have continuous monitoring of an engine.
Gotcha. And is it wired or wireless connectivity between, you know, the equipment on the vessel and the antenna?
So the equipment is hardwired, and it goes through, you know, various firewalls and cybersecurity thing. And then there's a second port, which is available for intervention, and that can be a wireless so that you can take, a phone, smartphone or tablet, you know, to the equipment and do, you know, screenshots or video of the equipment for problem solving or just, you know, remote expert type things.
Understand. And final question just on the TACNAV.
Is it fair to assume that the AP&T stuff really doesn't ship in any kind of volume until next year?
That's correct. Yep. Yep. So next year, the next, you know, so this first, we delivered 17 units. The next, you know, phase two is 80 units. And that's going to be a, there were three suppliers for phase one. They're going to down select to one for phase two. So hopefully we'll, you know, be part of the winning team there. And that's 80 units, and then it's 8,000.
And that's just an Army program at this point?
Yes.
And is there an operation, an opportunity on the SOCOM or other services?
Yes, and you know, some of our partners also have applications in aviation and other, you know, places where GPS denied environments are important. So, you know, we're looking to partner with them on those programs as well.
Very good. Good luck with that. Thanks.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
And at this time, we have no further questions in queue.
Great. Well, thanks for listening. And Don and I are available should you have any follow-up questions. Thank you.